Perek in Tanakh is Shoftim Perek Yudbeis. We just finished the disastrous story of Yiftach HaGiladi, in which the whole problem of the separation of the Shvatim was brought to a head in the throwing out of Yiftach from the house, the eating crow of the Ziknei and Gilad, and needing to come back to Yiftach, and the interrelationship of the way it was that Yiftach had handled his daughter, which turned out to be also a slap in the face to the entire family of Bnei Yosef that had so complained about Benot Slavchad and that were worried about the chelik of the Yerusha that they were going to have. It turns out now that because of a neder, the breakdown in the relationship of Ben Av Labito, we ended up with what turned into, that was initially a tremendous victory, it turned it into a personal defeat. In this parak, we discover that it was not only a personal defeat, but it was viewed as an absolute disaster by the other members of Shevet Yosef. Because Yiftach was exposed as being a charlatan, and they were extremely angry about the whole thing. It would have been one thing to take responsibility and do it right, and then it would have been a covet for the entire Shevet, and would have been now a Shevet Yisrael that came from Yosef, that everybody could respect. Instead, this guy becomes the example, in the time of Shmuel, of, as the Gemara says, the Kale Olam, the lightweights, the guys who really aren't worth very much, and the amaratus of it was just rankling to them. And so the Medrash says that what happened over here, Vayitzaek Ish Ephraim Vayavor Tzafona, that when Ish Ephraim Vayitzaek doesn't mean to scream, Vayitzaek means they were gathered together through announcements, as we've seen many times, but the same thing with Ammon. So when you gather an army, you are Vayitzaek. They gathered together an army, and they went to the north, or to the actual city called Tzafon, which is in the area of Gad. And what happened over here is that they went over the Yarden, crossing over to where Menashe was, and headed north towards the area where the Chelek Menashe, Binyorish and the Gilad. And they came to Yiftach, exactly what they had done to Gidon, you recall. They were very upset with Gidon because they viewed him as an upstart. Now, Gidon handled that attack very nicely. Gidon said, yeah, are you kidding? You guys did the whole thing. What are you talking about? I mean, you've got Orev and Zev. I mean, I never could have done anything. I only waited to do, I did the little stuff, and then I wanted the big guys to come and mop up and do the real stuff, you know? You guys did the real stuff. So then they were happy. But here, first of all, Yiftach didn't know how to handle it. It could be there was no way to handle it. But it's worse than that. It wasn't just that they looked at now Yiftach as an upstart. They looked at him as a fool. And therefore, they were very angry at the fact that he had taken now things into his own hands as some kind of wild gedud leader, as opposed to being really a leader that happened to be the right man at the right time, and that didn't even bother calling the heads of the tribe, which are Ephraim, as Yaakov Avinu had said, it's Ephraim and Menashe. How in the world did you not even tell us that you were planning on doing this? And instead you made a fool of yourself. So Vayomer liYiftach, Madu avarta lilachem ivnei Amon, v'lanu lo karata lalechet imach. You should have discussed this, you should have called us. Now we're going to take care of you, buddy. Beitcha nisrof alecha be'esh. We're going to huff and we're going to puff, we're going to blow your house down. And this, of course, remits to every element of a house. You know, you think you've set yourself up here, a little dynasty. I don't know what you think. But as far as we're concerned, you're just a puppy. He didn't like that. Vayomer Yiftach aleihem. And remember that Yiftach was a guy that had been spending years now out in the wild. He didn't have a place to be. So he was constantly handling these little forays onto Ammon and making his parnasa from basically beating people up. Not a nice guy to start with. Yeah, a Robin Hood indeed. So he says to them, now listen here, guys. Ish riv hayiti ani va'ami uvnei Amon ma'od. We've been fighting for years. Me and these empty people that you so enjoy making fun of. We've been fighting them for years. You know how many times I sent you SMSs to please come and how about giving a hand to the poor guys who are the rangers and keep your borders okay? How many times did you once respond as Aketchem v'lo shati oti miadam? You never once showed up. Now all of a sudden I'm successful. So now I'm the idiot, the upstart, the puppy who never called you. I wasn't going to call you. V'ereki encha moshia. I got the message. Message is, we don't care. Okay. V'yasima nafshi b'chapi, so I take my soul in my hand, put my life out there. V'ebra b'nei Amon, and I go out there to fight the whole country. V'itneim Adonai b'yadi, and all of a sudden come the big boys to teach the puppy a lesson. I like that one. V'lama alitem elai hayom azeh l'lachem bi. So now all of a sudden, what do you want to do? So now you know who the enemy is. Yep, the enemy is not Amon. No, we never bothered about him. The enemy is obviously the right-wingers who would fight Amon. Okay, so let's fight. He gathers together the whole Gilad, because the reason that he gathered the whole Gilad, as we'll see, is at the end of the pasuk. Vayilachem et Ephraim. Vayaku anshei Gilad et Ephraim. It wasn't only that Yiftach responded. The whole Gilad responded. Why? Because the attack of Ephraim was actually broad. They attacked the entire Gilad as being a bunch of idiots. Because what they would say is, ki amru, they would say, you know, just so that you guys should understand how the rest of the world looks at you. You know, I mean, you think you're hot stuff. As far as everyone else is concerned, you're looked at as the Plitei Ephraim Atem Gilad. You know, among the Ephraim people, we view you as refugees, Palestinian. You think your Arab brethren respect you. They look at you as being absolutely the dross of humanity. That's how we look you. And don't think it's only B'toch Ephraim, B'toch Menashe. It's exactly the same thing B'toch Menashe. You know, nobody thinks you guys are anything. You're garbage. This, of course, did not sit well with anybody in Gilad. And so what they did was, Vayulkot Gilad et Ma'abrot Yarden l'Ephraim. What they did was they secured the passages back over the Yarden, because remember, Ephraim was living on the other side of the Gilad. And that other... On the western side, because they were right. Tzadik Hatzishev and Menashe. It said that they had crossed over and then gone north to get to Menashe. But now they were stuck because the only way they could get back to Ephraim if they were running away in defeat would be to cross over the Yarden. And just as we saw before, once you secure the Ma'abrot HaYarden, you're funneling all of your enemies into one or two places. So now they're all coming to try to cross back. And all of a sudden they're pretending that they are really, we're from Gilad. I have some business. I just need to pass. But because Gilad had captured the Ma'abrot HaYarden against Ephraim, Hayaki Yamru, if they would say now, the Plitei Ephraim, the guys who were running away, would say, Evora, please, we just need to pass. I just got to get to my makolet where I sell stuff to these lousy Ephraim people. So is it okay if I go across? So they said, sure, just do me a favor. Wait a minute. You sure you're not an Ephrati? You sure you're not from Ephraim? Oh, no. Me? Oh, absolutely not. Vayomer lo. No, I don't know anybody from Ephraim. No, those guys, crazy people. So, Vayomer lo. Okay, just say the word Shibolet. Now, the problem is that Ephraim was from Lithuania. And as you know, in Lithuania, nobody can pronounce sh. So when a Lithuanian reads this pasuk, he reads it, I'm telling you honestly, Vayomerlo emorno sibolet. Vayomer sibolet. That's how they have it. In the yeshiva, that's actually how they read it.
Really?
Yeah, mamish. So they can't pronounce the sibolet. Okay, so that's exactly what they use to trap them, and it's very interesting. This is the other remez in Vayidgu l'rov b'kerev ha'aretz, that you're just like Duggan, are always caught in their mouth. It's the hook that hooks you from your mouth. So too, you are destined to be caught by your pronunciation. You don't know how to speak Hebrew properly. You're dead. So they would say, well, of course, Sibolet. V'lo yachin adaber kein. They never had learned to speak properly. V'yochazirotov v'yishchatu. They killed them. It's terrible. El ma'abrot ha'yarden. 42,000 people in the first civil war because of this break that all started because of Yiftach and his daughter. And indeed, the Medrash says, why in the world did such a horrible thing happen? Why would Yiftach be given over the Kayah to kill 42,000 people? Because instead of coming along when it was time to make sure that it wouldn't have happened with his daughter, and bring Pinchas. What do you mean, well, Pinchas doesn't want to go? Grab him and drag him. You want to know? Sorry, Rofe ain't sham, right? Sorry, ain't Begilad. Rofe ain't sham. This is outrageous. So you guys, all you know to do is to complain afterwards and to attack somebody because he's an idiot. It's your responsibility to make sure he's not an idiot. Because of that, we heard already the terrible onish on Pinchas, that the Shechina was mistaleket emenu. But because of that, the entire Shevet lost 42,000 men because, again, I'm not taking responsibility for something that afterwards they would complain about. It's always easy to complain afterwards. The more you complain afterwards, the more you're punished for not taking the responsibility of the thing that you're complaining about. And this is the big lesson of this parak, and it is truly the horrific end of the story of the breakdown in the relationship because of the ethnic identification of Shvatim. So you'd think, at least Ephraim and Menashe, basically, I mean, they're both the members of Yosef. No, it was Machir ben Menashe that had the whole problem, and they were the ones that didn't want the Shevet broken up. And now we're two Shvatim and civil war. After all, if every Shevet is unique and a civil war. So this kind of attitude led at the end to the most awful of possible breakdowns. Of course, all over the world it's recognized. The most awful of breakdowns in any unity is civil war. So that this was the civil war of Yisrael at this stage that allowed this disaster to happen. Vayishpot Yiftach et Yisrael sheish shanim, vayomot Yiftach ha-Giladi vayikaver ba'arei Gilad. And so he was a shofet for 6 years, and then was buried in the cities? How are you buried in the city? I thought you were buried in one place. Say Chazal, that this was the horrific end of Yiftach. He was buried in pieces because he became ill with leprosy, with Hansen's disease, and lost his limbs. So that he was buried in pieces. There couldn't be a more powerful indication of breakdown. You're talking about the breakdown of Shvatim out of the whole Yisrael. Let's see your pieces break down, because after all, I mean, you know, they're different. We could tear them to pieces. We can kill 42,000 of them. Fine. Okay, you could do without a hand today, without a leg tomorrow. Keep taking off pieces. It's unbelievable vision. So powerful. So that this was the bitter end of what began as a battle against the Benot Zelofchad and ended up as the destruction of the interrelationships between Ephraim and Menashe themselves. Now, in beautiful contrast, is Vayishpot Acharav et Yisrael Iftzan mi Beit Lachem. Of course, we know that Chazal tell us that Iftzan was actually Boaz. If Iftzan is Boaz, the contrast is astonishing. Because the story of Iftzan and Beit Lachem begins exactly this way, with complete breakdown. Right, yes, it's also a Shibboleth, it's true. And, yeah, it's a definitely beautiful touch. But what happened there was also a jingoistic rejection of anything that smacked of something different, and the unwillingness to even look at Rus when you're talking about her as she comes into Beit Lechem, and the daughter-in-law that she's brought as a Gioret that becomes the remez of the ultimate Gioret Tzedek. You don't talk to and don't give them anything to eat. And that was turned around by Iftzan as Boaz into the first act of real unification. And this is therefore the end of the story that began with Gidon, which is Hashem Imachem Gibor Achayil, was instituted by Boaz to be Hashem Imachem to everybody. And he made that takana, which completely changed now the relationship of Yisrael to each other. And that was necessary, and therefore it's immediately contrasted with the horrific breakdown. We already start hearing about David HaMelech. And this is the moment we hear Beit Lechem, we know what we're talking about.
There's no mention from is a Shevet.
Beit Lechem, whereas if he's Boaz, we know with is a Shevet, obviously. He's a direct descendant of Peretz.
The text doesn't
tell us. That's why Chazal Teyam. In other words, those who don't hold it if son is Boaz assume that the Beit Lechem over here is a reference to Beit Lechem in the Galil. Vayilo shloshim banim u'shloshim banot shilach achutza u'shloshim banot evil vanav min achutz. He had 30 sons, 30 daughters. He brought in 30 daughters for his sons from outside. Now, min hachutz. Min hachutz sure sounds like the exact opposite. Isha acheret, ikimi isha acheret ata, comes bi bachutz, comes from a different family, a different shevet. He went out of his way to bring bedafka. I'm only going to marry my sons off to women that are the opposite of what they threw out yiftach for. I want to mix the shvat. Unbelievable. So, and he took now 30 daughters for his sons, and he also married off 30 of Vayishpot et Yisrael Sheva Shanim, Vayomot Yiftzan Vayikaver Bebeit Lachem. The expanded story is, of course, the last days of his life. That expanded story is the entire Sefer Rut. Vayishpot Acharav et Yisrael Elon Hazivuluni, Vayishpot et Yisrael Eser Shanim. He was from Ayalon. Not the Ayalon of Dan, of course, which gives Gush Dan the name of its expressway today, but rather Elon from the Ayalon in Zvulun. So Vayomot Elon Azivulni, Azivuluni, Vayikaver Ba'ayalon, Be'eretz Zivulun.
So in one Shofet at a time?
Not necessarily, because we'll see the some of the years are Muvla'ot, which is how we got to 300 years before.
These are known as the leading Shofet of the land.
Correct. These are the leading shoftim of the land, and unless we have 100% raya, like we had by Tola and Pua, for instance, that there were a mixture of years, this is the way in which we can count the years of the Yemei HaShoftim. Each shofet is that number of years. If there's years in between in which there was no shofet, or we have Avimelech, or, you know, or a story of a crushing that isn't included in the number of years, then we add those. But the Ikar Sefer Shoftim is actually a description of the years of the shoftim.
How were they appointed?
They weren't appointed.
Obviously,
that's the point. The beautiful issue of Shoftim is that there was no control. And that without control, there was a gradual evolution towards recognizing, just as what happened to Yiftach. It was the need, it was the man of the moment, it was the guy who had a message that people could relate to, that rose up.
So like the Gadol Dor, known as...
No, that's political today.
Right.
Saying until 50 years ago, there was really such a thing. After the formation of political parties, and then the Gadol became the political party's Gushpanka, so then already, of course, it became political. You needed to have somebody who appointed him as the... But it doesn't mean that it would have happened on its own the way it used to. Vayishpot acharav et Yisrael Avdon ben Hillel ha-Pir'atoni. So he came now from the town of Pir'aton. Pir'aton is identified today with around the area of Shechem. And he was also a bit flamboyant. Vayilo arba'im banim u'shloshim b'nei banim. All of whom were rochvim al shivim ayarim. Each one had himself a jaguar. Vayishpot et Yisrael shmone shanim. Vayomot avdon ben hillel apiratoni. Vayikaver bepiraton be'eretz Ephraim behar ha'amalekim. So he was buried now in the area of Ephraim, which was to the south of Har Gerizim, that was called the area of Amalek.
Because Amalek was there.